We are looking at that right here, right now. You write, you go big with this, and you talk about not just Facebook and Google. You've got Amazon and Apple in here, and I want to ask how and why. But you say, look at these together. You write, they believe that they have the opportunity to complete the long merger. More than any previous coterie of corporations, you say the tech monopolies, and you call them monopolies, aspire to mold humanity into their desired image of it. They believe they have the opportunity to complete the long merger between man and machine to redirect the trajectory of human evolution. That seems to dwarf the complaints about election interference there, Franklin.
Yeah, those are small bean complaints. And really, what I did when I was researching this book is I spent a long time listening, watching YouTube videos of Larry Page, the co-founder of Google, or Mark Zuckerberg, the founder of Facebook. And I listened to all the things that they said. And so they say a lot of things about whatever the new phone is or the latest platform, and those get a lot of attention. But they also say profoundly interesting things about human nature and about the human species. And so if you listen to somebody like Larry Page, he says that human beings are more or less piles of algorithms. We are code. And therefore, it's not a stretch to imagine that we need to become cyborg.
We're predictable, like a piece of code in a way.
Exactly. But also, if you were to reduce human biology, you would see that it functions essentially as the equivalent of code. And therefore, we're machines. And so to merge with machines is really just a natural thing. And so some of this is happening already. We wear Apple watches on our wrist. You could wear Google Glass on the bridge of your nose. And Sergey Brin has talked about the day when Google will be implanted in your brain. And right now, if you listen to Mark Zuckerberg or Elon Musk, they talk about the potential of actually creating machines that read human brains so that we don't need to type into our phones. We could just send brain waves that have the effect of communicating with machines. And so I know it sounds kind of grandiose to describe these companies in this sort of way, but really, I'm not doing anything more than reading back the things that they themselves say.
We're talking about the Lords of Technology, as Steve Bannon now calls them, and whether or not it's time for more regulation around political ads, or maybe more broadly. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. You really go after them. You say the big tech companies are shredding the principles that protect individuality. Their devices and sites have collapsed privacy. They disrespect the value of authorship. Hostile to intellectual property, they justify monopoly. When it comes to the most central tenet of individualism, free will, the tech companies have a different way. They hope to automate our choices, the choices that we make, as we float through the day, you say. It's their algorithms that suggest the news we read, the goods we buy, their algorithms, the path we travel, the friends we invite into our circle. That is such a vast, if that's the way you see it, that seems almost beyond regulation, Franklin.
I'm not sure it is. I mean, I think that there are two ways that we could really begin to address the power of these companies that really isn't radically inconsistent with the approach that we've taken throughout American history to dealing with these types of communication behemoths. The first thing is that there really isn't any law in this country protecting data. Now, if I've just described data as being this X-ray of your soul, this very, very intimate document of your past, it's really kind of gobsmacking that we don't have basic protections for that, or even a basic paradigm for understanding who this data actually belongs to. Lots of countries around the world have gotten into the business of regulating data, of creating data protection agencies. So there's a lot that we could use as a model for creating something similar here. The second thing is that we have this grand tradition in our country of anti-monopoly laws, and they've fallen into a bit of disuse over the course of the last several decades. But those laws are there. They need to be updated to take into account some of the different ways in which these companies function. But again, this is just entirely consistent with our history, that we've had these monopolies in the past. The Postal Service was, in fact, the first communications monopoly. And we constrained the Postal Service when it was tempted to get into the telegraph business. And then when a monopoly got into the telegraph business, Western Union, we again created pressure where they feared nationalization. And so they were reluctant to get into the telephone business and so on down through the generations until you get to the case against Microsoft that actually scared Microsoft at a time when Google was emerging. And I've talked to a lot of people at Google, and they suggest that if the government hadn't acted against Microsoft, there wouldn't have been space for Google. So it's possible to regulate in a way that, in fact, encourages innovation.
Sometimes I feel like Americans enjoy these monopolies function. You know, it allows all kinds of kind of wild things to happen here. Maybe people are more into the efficiency or ease than into the protection of their data.
I enjoy these monopolies too, but I think the stakes are extremely high. And because our democracy is at stake, because our privacy is at stake, because our very the very definition of the human species is at stake, I think we need to proceed with extreme degrees of skepticism and care.